Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Salvation has been brought down. In John chapter 3, right about verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." When we talk about salvation has been brought down, Jesus died on the cross for me. Amen.
Amen.
And because of that, it motivates me to know that no matter what transpires on this time side of life, if I keep my hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, I won't have to worry about a thing.
Nope.
Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul reminded the church at Rome. In Romans chapter 5 and round about verse number 8, Paul said, "God demonstrated how much he loved his mankind. And that while Stan was a sinner," that's right, I take this very personal, "even while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died." Boy, what a loving Savior that we have.
Amen.
What a kind Savior that we have. And what a merciful Savior that we have.
Amen.
Once again, just giving God the glory and the honor that is due him on this time side of life. Want to welcome each and every one of you that are visiting with us here at the Apple Valley Church of Christ. Want you to know that you are our honored guests.
Amen.
And I hope and pray something can be said from the Word of God that'll cause you to think about your soul's salvation. We just got through singing a song that salvation has been brought down. And because of salvation being brought down, that gives me some hope for tomorrow. That gives me some encouragement that in the midst of everything that goes on, if I obey his plan, then I don't have to worry about when death knocks upon my door.
Nope.
The Bible says in Matthew, I believe, chapter 16, round about verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist. But Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" And my boy Peter reminds me of me. Cut your ear off at the drop of a hat. Cuss you out. Oh yeah, read your Bible. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God." Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Peter, for God has revealed this to you. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon the rock, upon the confession that I am the Son of God, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Amen.
God sent his Son to die to reconcile man back to his Father. And church, that's something that we ought to really stop and think about in our everyday life as we serve the Lord. The Bible teaches that we must hear his word, Romans 10, 17. We must believe that this is inspired word of God, John chapter 20, and round about verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples. These are not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe in, and believing you might have eternal life. John chapter 5 and verse number 39, Jesus says, "Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify concerning me." The Bible says you got to repent of your sin, Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell your name, except you repent, you perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. And that's an ongoing confession for those of us who have obeyed God's plan. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus says, "Confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father." And all of that brings us unto salvation. The Bible teaches you we're not saved until we go into the watery grave. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then he adds us to the church, which is his body. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22. He adds us to the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, when we come up out of that watery grave, God gives us something to help us to endure this time side of life.
That's right.
That's what I can do what I do. because I have God himself that dwells in me. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Y'all looking at me funny. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. He gives me his Holy Spirit when I come up out of the watery grave. This Holy Spirit is designed to teach me, to guide me. This Holy Spirit that God gives to each and every one that obey him, he gives them some attributes so they can show the world that the Spirit is alive and well.
Amen.
The attributes. He gives us 9 attributes. And we've been talking about these attributes for the past few weeks. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 is our lesson text. Paul says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we talked about love. 4 definitions for the word love. Agape. Self-sacrificing. Being willing to sacrifice everything because he loved us. Philo, where we get the word brotherly love. Eros, which is a physical love. And then the one I like, stoic, which is the love that we have for our family. Bible. And then we talked about the next spirit, fruit of that spirit, which is joy. And I came up with this. Jesus owns you. Do we? Because if he really owns you, then that means you're willing to surrender your life in obedience to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Paul says, know you not that your body is the temple of God, of the Holy Spirit, which you have from God. And ye are not your own. Let that sink in. You don't belong to you. You didn't know that? Oh, well, I just thought I'd stop by to tell you. You don't belong to you. You belong to God. And so Paul goes on to say, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Very powerful. Because that tells me that in the midst of everything that goes on, I can smile. I can be happy. I can be joyous. Why? I don't belong to me. And so therefore, if I don't belong to me, why am I worried about what the world going to do to me?
Amen.
Jesus says, fear not him who can destroy the body and have nothing else to do with. But I tell you who you need to fear. Fear God, who is able to destroy both body and soul and then cast it into hell. Jesus says, this is who you ought to fear. If my body don't belong to me, boy, shouldn't I be excited?
Yes.
Yes, I guess I should be. Shouldn't I be motivated? Well, I am, but you. Somewhere down the line, this moves us to a higher plateau. But see, you got to allow the Spirit. And then we talked about peace, the third attribute of the Holy Spirit. And I told you to make peace means prepared people are eager to serve with a positive attitude. How positive are you this morning?
Amen.
How positive? Boy, you're talking about some work. How positive are you this morning? Turn and tell the person next to you how good God's been to you. Take a minute. Hello? Take a minute. Turn and tell the person how he's been good to me, Junior. I know he's been good to you. And so, positive attitude. Why should we have such a positive attitude? Christ holds the keys to what? Eternal salvation. And if I know he holds the keys to eternal salvation, what can stop me? What can hinder me? Nothing on this time side of life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And the next verse on that says, finally, my brethren, be strong. Do we need strong people?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't need your strength to lift a car, but I need you to be strong in holding up the gospel. I need you to be strong that when Satan rears his ugly head, you're able to say, Jesus, help me to overcome his devices. And you know what? I guarantee you, God will be there for you.
Amen.
And the next attribute of the Holy Spirit. Can anybody guess? Can anybody guess? Can you guess? How long? Long suffering. That means you got to put up with me and I got to put up with you. But you know, I'll never put up with you, and you'll never put up with me if you don't have agape love. If you don't have brotherly love,
Amen.
If you don't have the joy that comes from being a child of God, and if you don't have the peace that surpasses understanding, you'll never ever be able to put up with me. Because long suffering means that I'm willing to strip myself of me so you can rise above me.
Amen.
That's right. Romans chapter 12 and round about verse number 9. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate toward one another. How? And brotherly love and honor, preferring someone else. And then in round about verse number 18 in that same text, Paul says, beloved, as much as depend on you, live peaceable with all men. Verse number 19, Paul says, venge not yourself. That's why when you step on my toe, I ain't worried about you. He said, venge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Paul says, therefore, this is the attitude we ought to have. If thy enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Paul says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And church, and I'm learning, it requires some long suffering. And it requires not only long suffering, it requires what Jesus Christ requires. The Lord requires each and every one of us to be obedient. That's right. And we should be obedient. And what makes us obedient is the word of God. Say, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall find it. And then Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, Jesus requires obedience. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse number 6. See, I'm learning that obedience comes when you're able to strip yourself of you and let the Holy Spirit that's in you be first and foremost in our everyday life. Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exhort you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Well, what do I need to do, Peter? Be sober.
Amen.
You can be drunk. And see, I learned that you can be drunk and never touch a drop of alcohol.
Right.
You can be drunk with the cares of this world. You can be drunk with envy, malice. You can be drunk and not even know you're drunk. But Peter says, be sober. Wake up. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. Wake up. How many of y'all asleep this morning? You just got your eyes open. Amen. Amen. And you know, I used to be pretty good asleep. Sitting still and be asleep. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, but the rest of y'all going on back. But it's time to wake up. The Hebrew writer says our salvation is closer now than we first began. Those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ and have lived 70, you realize how close salvation is? I'm 65 and he promised me 70. And another score by reason of health. Well, could I go in any time? Yes.
Yeah.
Am I worried about it? No. Why? John chapter 14 and round about verse 1. Jesus said, I got a place prepared for you. And he said, if I got a place, I'm coming back to get you. Church, and that's what ought to drive us every single day. So when Satan starts throwing these darts at us, we ought to realize he can't touch us unless he catches us in sin.
Amen.
But as long as we walk in the light as he is in the light, Satan cannot mess with us. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. But the next verse says that the devil resists steadfast. I think we talked about this past week. The devil resists those individuals that remain steadfast, that remain unmovable. The devil is going to leave you alone as long as you walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. As long as you put God first and foremost in your everyday life, the devil is going to leave you alone until you mess up. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, right about verses 1 through 11, the Bible says Jesus was taken up in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And every time the devil came to Jesus, what did Jesus say? Hello, somebody. What did he say? It is written. What are you trying to say, preacher? If we stay with what's written, you won't have half the problems you got in your everyday life. I'm learning that when I stay with what's written, I know how to treat my wife right. I know how to be nice to my children. I know that when the devil gets in me, and if I remember what's right, I'll say, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm human. I'm real. I don't know about you. But somewhere down the line, the believer rises above all of this because we have the Holy Spirit that guides us, that directs us. John chapter 16 and round about verse number 13, Jesus said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth shall come, it shall guide you into all truth. For it will take what is mine and make known to you. How's he going to make known of Jesus Christ? He's going to know through the written word. 2 Timothy 2:15. That's why you got to study and meditate upon the word of God. The psalmist said in Psalms 1 verses 1 through 6, we can be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. Its leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, he's prosperous. And I've learned that prosperity is not numbered in the things that I possess.
Amen.
Amen. And I got to constantly remind myself, don't get caught up. Because I'm reminded of what David said. David said, my feet began to slip when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Wow.
Oh, yes. David said, I was all right until I looked at y'all. And seeing y'all living like Lottie Dottie and everybody, my feet started to slip because you got everything. And I got nothing. But the psalmist said, it wasn't until I went into the house of the Lord. And I remembered. But God said, I honed the heels of 1,000 cattle. If I was hungry, I would tell you. The world is mine and the fullness thereof. And he calls me his son. So what do I own? The heels of, come on, y'all, work with me this morning. See, because when you know who's in control, do you worry about tomorrow?
No.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, but seek thee first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. What other things? Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and following. He said, I'll put a roof over your head. I'll put some clothes on your back, and I will feed you and take care of you. And when your ways please me, I'll make even your enemies be at peace. Boy, I don't know who you serve, but I serve an awesome God. And so when you mess with me, I just cry out, Father. Come on, y'all.
Amen.
Anybody ever mess with you? Who do you run to? Daddy, mama. Amen. Church, when Satan gets on us, that's when we run and cry out, Abba, Father. Long suffering requires obedience, and it requires the believer to never give up and to give God the glory that's due him.
Amen.
Do we do that every day? Huh? Sometimes we're so busy trying to get that french fry in our mouth that we forget. Amen. Amen. We're so busy trying to feel this physical man that we forget to just thank him.
Thank you.
And praise his name for what you've blessed us with. Mm-hmm. But I know sometimes we think we did it all by ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. No. We need to learn to give God the glory that's due him by serving God with the understanding. Do we really understand who we serve? Peter says it's best that you don't even know the truth. But to know it and to turn from it, Peter says it's like the true proverb. The dog will return to his vomit, and the sow will return to the wallowing in the mud. See, somewhere down the line, we got to understand who we are. Do we understand who we are?
Amen.
We're child of the Most High God. Do you understand the mission, the responsibility that He's placed upon the body of Christ? Luke 19 and verse number 10, Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus said, I've left you an example for you to follow. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so I'm learning in order for me to follow Christ, follow the teachings of the apostles. I got to empty myself out. And that's hard to do because I just don't want to do it. Just go and tell the truth.
Amen.
You just don't want to do it because you do everything else.
That's right.
Amen. When you want to go somewhere, what stops you?
No way.
You ain't got a couple, you ain't got enough money, I'm going anyway. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all gone on back. Nothing should ever stop us from serving our God. And seeing when we understand who we really serve, it develops a stronger faith. That's right. When you understand who you serve, guess what? Faith becomes stronger. James said, James chapter 2 and verse number 14, faith without works is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so if you're not doing... Anybody can talk.
Amen.
But it's got to be the demonstration of what we believe in. And it develops a stronger faith. And when we develop that stronger faith, you heard the old saying, be like the rock of Gibraltar.
That's right.
Boy, somewhere down the line, our faith goes so strong. Staying focused on the cross. But see, to stay focused on the cross, you got to live the cross. That's right. It's got to be something that's every single day of our lives. It's got to be something that we believe, that we focus on, and that we stay in. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. This is how you focus on the cross. Paul says, seeing then that you... Brain just went there. Colossians chapter 3. Someone have it. Never mind. I got it.
Therefore,
if any... Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sat up at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections where?
On things above.
And not on things of the earth. Why? Because you are dead. When did I die? When I went in the water. And when I came up out the water, I died to the old man. Seeing then that if you've been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ sat up at the right hand of God. Where should our minds be every day? Some of y'all sitting here, and it's almost 12 o'clock. I can hear your stomach. And you know what Satan is going to do?
Yep.
He's going to make them juices get even that much more. You're going to hear it in your eardrums, and something your neighbor next to you is going to hear. I'm being facetious, but I'm not. Because, see, that's what Satan wants. He don't want you to prepare yourself to commune around this table. He don't want you to prepare yourself to live for Jesus Christ. He wants you to operate from the physical man because in the physical man, he can cause you to stumble.
Amen.
He can't touch your spiritual man. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God.
That's right.
And those that are not led by the Spirit are none of His. Yep. Now, I didn't say that. That's what the book says. Not only will it help you to stay focused on the cross, you know what it'll also do? It'll help you to understand eternal life is in Christ and to learn how to reverence. That's a word we don't use. We don't use reverence. Do we know what reverence really means? It means giving God everything. That's right. To reverence God means that every single day, every minute of the day, I ought to reverence God. Lord, I'm guilty. I repent.
Amen.
Because it's so easy to get caught up in sin. It's so easy to get caught up in gun smoke as the world turns a search for tomorrow. It's so easy. But I ought to reverence God every single day. Every minute of the day. Anybody that drives on the highway, and all of us drive, because y'all drove to get here. You
That's
rode
right.
with somebody. You ought to thank God.
Amen.
You here. Some folks lost their lives yesterday. Some lost them the day before. We ought to reverence God so much that people can see it and glorify Him in heaven. See, the reason why we ought to reverence Him every day, can anybody guess? The reason we ought to reverence Him every day? Because he is the I am. That's right. He is the I am. The beginning and the end of everything. And you know what? He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when I learn to reverence him every single day of my life, then I keep in memory that everything on this time side of life exists because of him. Because I have obeyed from the heart the gospel of Jesus Christ, everything on this time side of life exists because he made it. Oh, don't look at me funny. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All things were made by him, through him, and for him. So, if it was made for him, who told you the right you can come when you feel like it? Who told you you can have any other kind of attitude but the attitude you're supposed to have? Y'all quiet. I know I'm on the right nerve.
Amen.
Well, see, I'm preaching to men, but if I'm down your street, how you doing? Somewhere down the line, we understand that he is the I am. And it is because he is the I am, we should have no others before him.
Amen.
Amen. It's real easy to put somebody before God.
It sure is.
You know why it's so easy? Because we allow the world to dictate to us. But when you allow God to dictate to you, then the world doesn't have a chokehold on you. We should have no other gods before him.
Amen.
You know how God did with Israel? When God told them to have no other gods before them, he destroyed them. And in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 10 or 11, because those individuals spoke out against Moses, the Bible says, and one day, 23,000 was destroyed. Well, when I stop and I think about God and how God brought the world to where it's at, and I'm glad he sent his son, because that holds back the wrath of God. And it really holds back the wrath in my life. That God sent his son, and his son stands before him and said, Father, he belongs to me. I've washed him in my blood. I've given the spirit to him, Lord. He belongs to me. And I can hear God just saying, because of who you are. Sir, somewhere down the line, when we believe this, it brings about a different story. No other God, no others before God. To me, that's long suffering. Did I make it? Well, I might have got a couple of them. See, I'm honest with me. I'm working on me, you know. You know, like the signs you see on the side of the road? Work in progress. I'm still in progress of being worked upon. But I hope and pray, church, as we start looking at these attributes that we're supposed to possess as the chosen of God, that we'll understand that the love we have for mankind is the love that God had for mankind.
Amen.
Agape, self-sacrificing love. And when we have that agape love, guess what? It'll bring about a joy in our everyday life. How can you be happy in the midst of everything? Well, James said, James chapter 1, I believe, count it all joy, brethren, when you're falling into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith makes patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that give to all men liberally and abradeth not. But let him ask how? In faith. In faith. I do what I do because I have faith in Jesus Christ that when this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, I told him, don't preach long.
No.
Don't spend a whole lot of money on this old shell. Because I know God is going to dispatch the pallbearers to take me on into paradise.
Amen.
And that's what motivates me. That's what drives me. I know one day I got to give it up. And guess what? So do you.
Amen.
And see, in our household, we always kid about, make sure I look good in my coffee. But you know what? I'm going to look good in it or out of it. Because I won't even be there. I will be gone to the other side. Hope I said something this morning to encourage your heart. Nine attributes of the fruits of the Spirit. Next week we're going to deal with the fifth one. And I want to just encourage you to go back and read the book of Galatians. Read chapter 5 from the beginning. Because Paul says we have liberty don't know about you. I got liberty in Christ. He says, but only don't use your liberty as a cloak.
That's right.
That's right. And so the freedom I have is based upon what is written in his book. To those of you that are visiting this morning, I hope I've said something to encourage your heart. Somebody is knocking at the doors of your heart. Yes, and I hear you. When I get right, I'll come to Jesus. Well, if you could get right, he'd have never had to go to the cross. That's what I like about the Lord. He takes you just as you are.
Amen.
He took me. Paul said, I was chief among sinners. I was his first running mate. Clean me up.
Amen.
Put a Bible in my hand. He says, I know you're not going to do everything perfect, but if you remember that my blood runs clear to free you, and you repent of your sin, now you go out here and proclaim the gospel. I got a testimony. If he can do it for me, I know good and well he can do it for you. And I know you probably saying, I was pretty bad. Well, I wasn't far from you. That's right. And see, and that's the whole thing about our Christianity. Everyone sitting here got a testimony. None of us walk on water. Although the other day at the ice hockey, I was walking on something. None of us walk on water. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Paul said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God, he gives us a victory. I want to encourage you if you're here this morning. Think about your soul's salvation. If he was to call you right now, what would he say? Well done. Or would he say, depart? I don't know you. And for those of us who are members of the body of Christ, it's time to wake up out of our sleep. It's time to really understand that God has placed upon us salvation for the world. You know, we sit back in our homes and we always talk about what they ain't doing in Washington. Amen. That's right. I'm going to talk a minute here. If you're in a hurry, you can go ahead and leave. But we sit back and we talk about what they ain't doing in Washington. Question. What are you doing in Abilene? What are you doing in his spirit? I miss anybody? What are you doing in Victorville? I miss anybody? What are you doing? We worried about what they're doing when God has commissioned us to do something. He's commissioned us to seek and to save the lost. You're talking about an ambassador, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and round about verse number 17, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God who has reconciled us to him and have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We have a job to do. And that's what we've been talking about all this past week. We got enough laborers. Who's going to the field? It's hot, it's sweaty, it's dirty, but we're going to pick some souls. They don't look like us. They don't smell like us. They don't walk like us. But we're going to go into the field. And as we go into the field, you're going to have to take off your fine threads. And you're going to have to get dirty a little bit. You're going to have to come off your high horse. And you might have to get on your knees. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But somewhere down the line, as an ambassador, I got to understand that I've been called for a purpose. Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might win some.
Amen.
To the Jews, I become as a Jew. To the Gentiles, I become like the Gentiles. To the lost, I become like the lost. In all things that I might save some. I'm saying all of this because you need to know that the preacher is a man just like any other man. I make mistakes like anybody else.
Amen.
But I'm so thankful that I've obeyed from the heart the gospel. And when I mess up, his blood just cleanses me and makes me brand spanking new every single day of my life.
Amen.
Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, we're almost in the third month of this new year.
Wow.
You remember your resolution?
No.
It's on the refrigerator.
That's a good place to keep it. But are we living up to our commitment? And see, and the commitment I'm talking about is a commitment to us every single day. Every day he gives you life, breath, and your mortal body. You need to praise him. I want to encourage you, if you're here, you stand in need. Opportunity is yours as together we stand and sing our song.